Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today you get to hear the world's greatest sermon. Now, it's not going to be for me, that's for sure, but you just heard it in case you'd missed it. It was from that second reading from Acts, where we heard of a man named Peter. The world's greatest sermon. If you missed it, let me repeat it. He says this on the day of Pentecost. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, well, the man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That was from our reading from Acts. And this little text is just a fragment of a sermon, which technically is the world's greatest sermon, because it's a sermon in which we as Lutherans would love. It preaches law, God's law. You crucify Jesus by your sin, but it also preaches gospel, the gift of grace, the good news. Law and gospel right in there, and the people hear this, and they repent, they turn around from their sin, and they believe. It's the world's perfect sermon. And it's given by Peter, of all people. Now, when Peter preaches the law, it's sharp and painful, and it cuts like a knife. You killed Jesus, he says. And the same kind of goes for us still today. By means of our sin, we are responsible just as much. And then the gospel, it's unexpected and it's amazing, really. But God raised him up and made this Jesus, whom you crucified, made him both Christ and Lord. And then the result is life. People repent and they're saved and they go on living in faith. It's pretty remarkable, this day of Pentecost. Now, in order for us today in 2017 and for our hopefully new confirmand Andrew here listening, how does this relate to us? What does it look like? Well, I remember not too long ago, I was watching a show that kind of puts this into perspective. I think it was like on America's Got Talent or something. It was a show where a man was doing a musical act. And he had all these little glasses and jars of different shapes and sizes and colors. And he's sitting on this table. And I was wondering, what's this guy going to do? And all these little pieces of glassware are filled with water, all different levels. And what he did was, as he dipped his finger in one of the glasses of water, he rubbed it on like the rim of a glass. And out came this beautiful sound. And then he kept doing it on different ones, and each one made a different note. And all of a sudden, he was playing this beautiful symphony out of these pieces of glasses. Now, I couldn't really figure out what he was doing at first. His hands were kind of going everywhere. But as I listened and I was taking in this sound, I kind of realized that, looking back at it now, it's the same thing what we hear from this Bible reading. Because there was on the end of that table a glass that seemed to be all by itself. It was nothing really special. It seemed to be kind of out of reach, like he wasn't going to use it. And it was filled like really with this tiny little amount of liquid on the bottom. It was pretty much useless. It looked completely empty as I looked at that little glass on the table on TV. And I wondered if this guy could really do anything with that little glass. Could he make that empty glass sing like he did the other ones? Well, as the song progressed, as he dipped his finger in water one more time, he stretched his hand out and he touched that last of a glass. It let forth this high-pitched sound. And it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard. And the song ended. Now, with that example in mind, I want you to listen once more to God's word today in that same kind of way. Being equally lost in wonder about what God does with us as empty vessels. Now, to do this, we have to take a look at our Bible readings a little bit differently. You kind of have to look to the very edge of the table. And we do that by looking at that reading from Acts, which Luke wrote in the New Testament, the book of Acts. He says, Peter stood up with the 11, the other disciples. Peter raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Now, there's thousands of people here where Peter is raising his voice to. And they're from different nations. They have different languages. But for some reason, they all could understand him in one language. And I thought that was kind of a miracle in itself. But then the real miracle happened. Peter, one of the 11, he stands up in this crowd and he preaches. That's the wonder. That's the miracle, I think, of Pentecost. That's the miracle of today, what we're celebrating. That's what I want you to hear and to see. That's the real music going on. That Peter, this man, is standing up and preaching. Now, I admit that's probably not a fantastic sort of thing to think about. This guy from the Bible, of course he's going to preach. That's kind of what people from the Bible do. And we're even accustomed, if we know what Peter did in the Bible, we're accustomed to know that he's kind of the loudmouth of the disciples. He's always the one talking, so why wouldn't he be preaching? Out of all the 12 disciples, Peter is the one who's never at a loss for words. If we hear to the example, when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, before going to the cross, Jesus is there appearing with Moses and Elijah. Now that's pretty cool. And James and John, the other disciples, are face down in awe. But then we see Peter. He's actually a loudmouth here. He cuts off Jesus in his conversation. He says, hey, Jesus, I know you're talking with these two important guys, but I just got to say something. It's good that we are here, Lord. And I really want to build some tents for you guys to stay overnight, to stay with us. He doesn't know what he's saying. Then, in another example, while Peter and the other disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, they're out fishing in a boat, Peter's not at a loss for words there either. There in the middle of the night, there's a storm erupting. And the disciples are all asleep on the boat. And they wake, they think they see a ghost walking on the water. And they're all terrified, like, what is this? And all of a sudden, the ghost says it's Jesus. Now, this is really kind of blowing their minds. And the disciples are all silent in wonder. But not Peter. Peter, this guy, is not at a loss for words. He is the one who reached down and pulls out all the bit of courage that he's got. And he says, well, if it is you, Lord, I don't think that it is, but if it is you, Lord, why don't you come and tell me to get out of the boat and walk on water to come and meet you too? Right? He's never for a loss for words. Peter. Peter's never at a loss for words, and especially not even on the night when Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not even then. He says this, though they all fall away, Lord, not me, I will never fall away from you. Not ever. I will follow you to prison and to death. And then on that very night, Peter lost Jesus. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before Jesus went to the cross, that was when Peter was actually silent. When he was, of all times, supposed to speak up. 3 different times, people asked this man, Peter, if he knew Jesus. and three times he denied it. Didn't even want a part of it. I don't know this guy Jesus. I don't want to die along with him. He used his words to empty himself of every last drop of faith of Jesus. And he was just like one of those empty glasses on that table in that show. Because he was an empty shell of a disciple. Poor, pitiful excuse of a man. Because he couldn't even stand up for his faith. One of the 12 disciples. And looking back, I think he was an empty glass if I ever saw one. And that's exactly why I told you that this is the most miraculous thing that we heard about. This man, Peter, he gets up in front of thousands of people and he preaches. Finally, he stands up for his faith. He preaches his guts out through the power and word of God. And people come to faith because of him. You see, it's not about the glass. It's not about even the person. It's not about how full or empty of faith you are. It's not about how much intellectual capacity, how much Bible knowledge you know. It's not about how many possessions you have, what car you have, what drive, what house you have, what job you have. It's not about how full or empty you are. Because it's all about the one who can do anything about that. It's all about the one who can fill an empty glass and make it sing. It's all about what God can do with you and I, with you, Andrew, with all of us. Even when we're empty and we don't have anything to offer to God, the world, or who else. You see, it's about the one who can do something about that. And that's why it's a miracle that we get to see what God does with Peter. This is what Jesus is doing. He has been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And now he sends forth the Holy Spirit, and with his fingers he's touching the hearts and minds of people, of simple people. And he's making them sing out their faith. He did it way long ago in the Old Testament. Now he's doing it for Peter. And today he's doing it for you right now. He's using you. All the gifts that he's given you. He will continue to use you. All the gifts that he's given you. God will use you. God will use things in spite of you to accomplish his will, his purpose for your life. And with an empty glass, he makes it sing. Just like that person I saw on TV. God's grace can make an empty vessel, an empty glass sing. God's grace, his love for you, can make you sing. Sing out with a full heart of your purpose and faith to the rest of the world. And you don't have to be any special person to do that. You can do that. That's the miracle that we get to see, that Peter is preaching, that you today have that same power. You are all apostles. You are all disciples today. So, how? How can you do that? How can you be like Peter here, even in your flaws? How can you preach when you are the one that's empty, maybe? When you don't feel like you have anything that you can contribute? Sometimes when life boils all the water right out of you, and you wind up feeling empty. Well, I think that's when God does his best work on you. When you acknowledge that you can't contribute anything. When you rely entirely on God and his work for you. That's when things get done. When we give up and let God do what he needs to do. Because that's the kind of God that we have. A God that is constantly working on you, with you, through you, every day. And that's the only reason why we're living and breathing today. That's the only reason why we're gathered here doing this that we're doing? Because in baptism, God has joined you together as a people, as a family. And he has surrounded you with a cloud of people that speak of Jesus, even when you maybe can't even speak a word. So, just like what happened to Peter way long ago, let God do the same thing for you today, for the rest of your life. Let God fill you. And let God make you sing. Let Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, do this. Because he can make any empty vessel sing. That's the gift that we're celebrating today. In baptism, God has given you that gift right here, right now, and you have all the power in the world to do that. Because in baptism, you've given yourself that great gift through God. You can go out in the world and tell people about why you believe in God, why you come to church, why you have a life that matters. You have that responsibility, you have that power, all because God gave it to you. And now your glass is full every day. You don't have to worry about half full, half empty. You are all full. All full, all the time, in God. Anytime you see or hear God's word proclaimed, that, I think, is a miracle. That itself is a sermon. That's what we get to see today with this young guy up front, this young, good-looking guy. Andrew, you're confessing your faith given to you in baptism. You're going to repeat the same words that these two over here spoke for you because you're too small to do it. You get to claim those gifts as your own. And you get to do that because you're just like every one of us. You're an empty vessel. But you're filled with Christ and faith. And make sure you remind yourself that you're full of faith every day. Because empty vessels make the most noise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.